Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Eruvin Mem Gimel, Eruvin 43a, pagination, page 85. We're starting from the middle of the page, top to bottom, and the first words on the line are Bedir Visahar, and then a two dots where we begin. Boy Rabbi Chananya asked the following question. Yesh techumin lemaila me'asara. Is there such a thing as techum Shabbos, the boundary of Shabbos, the 2,000 amma that you're allowed to walk? O ein techumin lemaila me'asara, or do those rules do not apply when you're above 10 tefachim? So we have to figure out what the case is, which the Gemara will help us with. But before we even figure out the case, how you're traveling above 10 tefachim, let's just pause and appreciate that just as there's a discussion in the public domain, if something is above 10 tefachim, it's too high to be considered the normal area that people are walking. So above a certain height, it might not be considered normal travel. And therefore, traveling above that height is not included in the laws of Tchum Shabbos. So the Gemara suggests the case, Amud Gavoa Asara V'rochav Arba Loti Boilach. If you have a post that's 10 tefachim high, but it's wide by 10 tefachim, like a bridge, that's not my question. Da'ara samichtahi, because that's considered thick ground. The ground is going up, it's going down. That's not a question. That's normal travel. You travel on a bridge. That's travel. Kiti boilach, what I'm wondering about, is ba'amud gavoa asara ve'ena rochav arba. If you have a post that's high 10 tvachim, and it's not wide 4 tefachim. It's not normal travel. You're walking on tiptoes, so to speak, to walk, like sometimes in a park, you see such pillars for fun. So if a person would have such a situation, would that be considered travel or not? The Gemara starts elaborating, and it becomes even clearer what our issue here is. Inami or else, deka'ozel bekifitza, a person who's traveling by taking leaps. And Rashi explains that he's using the Kabbalistic formulas of flying. So he's traveling from city to city, very religious fellow. The Gemara is going to explain Eliyahu Hanavi as an example. He travels from place to place quickly through Kabbalistic means. He says Hashem's name, whatever that means, and he travels from place to place. He's not traveling the way normal people travel, walking on the ground. Lishna Harina Bisfina. Or maybe the case is a ship. Or in our times, a plane. Where you're traveling above 10 tefachim. And we want to know, when you finally land, did you acquire your place of residence many miles ago, somewhere in the middle of the ocean? Or there's no such thing as techumen. There's no such thing as techumen when you're above 10 tefachim and you didn't acquire your location until you finally landed. Mai, what's the halacha? Again, is there techumen above 10 tefachim or is there not techumen above 10 tefachim? Now, one of the interesting things that's discussed in halacha is what would be if you had a bridge of sorts that happens not to be 4 tefachim wide. It's not an easy walkway, but it's perfectly usable and people go on it because it has a banister, it has a railing, it has some. There's like a method of walking so that it's normal walking, but it didn't meet the exact parameters described in the Gemara. And what would that status be? And that discussion might be similar, at least conceptually, to the question that we have by mezuzah. you have a room that's not 7 feet by 7 feet. It's not dalet amos al dalet amos. So the definition in the Gemara always was that you have to have a room that's usable, that's dalet amos al dalet amos. A person could sit, could lie. It's a regular room. What happens if you have a room that's perfectly usable for its use, but it's not 4x4 amos? You have a kitchen in an apartment setting where it's common for them to make very thin kitchens. It's a perfectly usable room as a kitchen. 100% usable. It's industry standard for that setting. But it's not 4x4 amos. So does it need a mezuzah or not? And the common approach is that if it's chazi l'tashmishtei, if it's fitting for its use, then it requires a mezuzah. We only said 4x4. If you have a neutral room, you walk into a room, what's its that? If it's too small, it's not usable. A closet. How big is it? But if it's chazi l'tashmishtei, if that's exactly how such a room is used, and that's exactly the size and functionality of that room, then we would put a mezuzah there. And that's, again, back to the question over here. You have a walkway that's perfectly usable, and people walk it. What would its status be? Now, the Gemara wants to bring a proof from cases of Sfina, cases of a ship that were coming into port, and they were concerned, were they within 2,000 amos of the city, or were they not within 2,000 amos of the city? And this should be a proof, because generally a ship travels above 10 tefachim of the ground of the ocean bed. And it would be a proof that there is tehumin above 10 tefachim. And the Gemara answers twice over here, b'mahaleches birikak. You could see it two lines up from the wide. Amar Rava b'mahaleches birikak. It's going in shallow water. The last lag of the ship in the water is already lower ground, and therefore they had a question, did they acquire their shivisa, their residence, in middle of the water, or were they within 2,000 amos of the city? So that case, the Gemara deflects and says, yeah, if they're going in shallow water, they acquire their residence. But if they're above 10 tefachim, the Gemara argues, you would not acquire your residence. Which is the approach that we use, that if you're above 10 tefachim, like a plane, if a person has the unfortunate case where somehow delays and delays and delays and he had no choice and he ends up landing, being on a plane and landing after Shabbos begins, so we assume that he does not acquire his shavisa until the plane touches down and he's entitled to the boundaries of the city in which he landed. Let's see the Gemara further. Toshma, Hani Sheb Shmaita, there were 7 statements. De Isamra, Bitzafra Bishabata, Kamed Rav Chista Besura. They were said in the morning, famous story, they were said in the morning by Rav Chista in Sura. Bahade Panyan, in the evening, Bishabata of the same Shabbos, Kamed Rav Bapampadisa, these same 7 things were said by the same presenter to Rava in Pumpadisa, which was out of the Tchum. How did whoever it was that presented in one place end up presenting in the other place on the same Shabbos? Man Amrinu, who could have said it? Lav Eliyahu Amrinu, it must have been, it was Eliyahu who said it in both places. Alma in Tchum l'maylam me'asara, obviously there's no Tchum above 10 Tfachim, because what he probably did, we're conjecturing, is he traveled b'kfitza, through this flying method, Kabbalistically, and he was able to travel, be in the morning in one place, travel to the second place, and say the same statements in the new place. And you have a proof that there's no tchum above 10 tefachim. And the Gemara answers, fasten your seatbelt, lo, no. Dilma Yosef Shida Amrenu, it could be it was Yosef the shade, who's reliable, but he's not bound by halacha. Eliyo is bound by halacha. Yosef Shida, Yosef the shade, nice being, reliable, whatever, but he's not bound by halacha. So he presented these halachas, and he's the one who traveled from place to place on Shabbos. The Gemara continues with another case, Tashema. Hareini Nazir b'yom sheben David ba. I want to be a Nazir. He's vowing to be a Nazir on the day, it's going to start, on the day that Mashiach comes, that the son of David comes. So mutu lishtos yayim b'shabbosos b'yom tovim, as the Gemara explains, this means on the Shabbos or Yom Tov of his vow, he's still allowed to eat, drink wine. Because on that Shabbos, you can rest assured that Mashiach didn't come. Because for also lishtos yayin kol yemos hachol, and you're not allowed to drink wine during the weekday. And the Gemara says, once the weekday kicks in, you're not allowed to do it even the next Shabbos. But according to this Gemara, on that original Shabbos of the vow, you would be allowed to drink wine. And the Gemara has various approaches in order to explain this. One of the approaches is, because Eliyahu has to come before Mashiach comes, and being that Eliyahu didn't come yet, and Eliyahu is not coming on Shabbos, so Mashiach also won't come right now on this Shabbos. Now, this Gemara is not really lahalacha. The Kesef Mishnah mentions this regarding the case of Nazir that we just said, where this person is making the vow. For Nazir reasons, it's not lahalacha the way the Rambam learns. But it's also not lahalacha because the Rambam, at the end of Yad HaChazakah, at the end of Hilchas Malachim, writes, Yesh menach hachomim she'omrim, there are those who say, she'kodem bias Mashiach yovo Eliyahu, that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu will come. In other words, he words it as some say. And he writes that there's nothing binding here. We will know what Hashem's plan is after it happens. So even though this Gemara grapples with it as if it's a halachic sugya, trying to be definitive, but the fact is the way we paskin, there are other Gemaras, and it's not definitive. Hashem will bring Mashiach when he's ready to bring Mashiach, but there is a common tradition that Eliyahu will come at that time, announce his coming, and affirm to us that it's the right person. Yeshikoach, have a great day.